First District Representative incumbent Shelley Pingree has held her seat and defended it convincingly for a decade. Just listen to these election results in her favor.
2008, 55%. 2010, 57%. That was a wave Republican year, by the way. 2012, 65%.
That's State House Bureau Chief Steve Missler. I'm Jennifer Mitchell. Today, we pick up with Steve, political correspondent Mal Leary, and today's host, Deputy News Director Susan Sharon, for another edition of Maine's Political Pulse. This week, they discuss Pingree's challengers and their campaigns.
So the Cook Political Report, which is known for forecasting congressional races, has put this one, the race for a first congressional district, solidly in the column for Shelley Pingree, who is up against two other candidates, including a Republican she beat 2 years ago. Mal Leary, we'll start with you. Who are her competitors and what stands out about them?
I always agree with Charlie Cook on these prognostications. We've got Mark Holbrook, who is the Republican nominee. He was the nominee last time, winning a very close primary race over a moderate Republican. This guy is very, very conservative. He's a Trumper all along. He spends a lot of time on the campaign trail talking about how he will go down and vote for everything Trump wants. The third candidate in the race is an independent, Marty Grohman, who is a former Democratic state representative from Biddeford, who is a businessman. He's been a successful businessman. He is more of a conservative Democrat. And he's trying to garner space in all of this that will attract both Republicans who can't support Holbrook, but also some disenchanted Democrats. So it's a tough row to hoe.
All right, Steve Missler. So in this congressional contest, it's one of three in Maine where ranked choice voting comes into play this year. This is very unusual. Maine's at the forefront of this. Remind us how it works and how it might affect this election.
Sure. So ranked choice voting is different from the voting that we traditionally have, which is voters, when they go to the polls, they get to rank each candidate on the ballot in order of preference. And then once those votes are tabulated, those rankings are tabulated, if somebody reaches 50% or more, that person wins on the first tally of votes. If they don't, then we go to the ranking system. What's important about that ranking system now in this particular race is you have one candidate, Marty Grohman, who's essentially staking his electoral hopes on this system getting to that second ballot. What he's trying to do is to draw support from moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans who can't support either Pingree or Holbrook, and hoping that he can drag her down just enough below 50% to get to that ranking process where he could then get a bunch of second place votes and potentially topple Pingree.
So what signs do you see that this is working or not? What's he doing to try to capitalize on this?
The one thing he's doing that we've seen a lot of, probably the most, is that he's trying to garner a lot of endorsements from Republicans and other luminaries in the party to show that he has their support. I mean, he's done this to such effect that the Maine Republican Party had to come out with a statement basically reassuring everybody, no, Mark Holbrook is our nominee. He's our guy. But Marty Grohman is coming out and saying, no, maybe not. These people are with me as well. More recently, he's tried to draw some moderate Democrats to his side with some really interesting ads, and I'll let Mal talk about that.
He's got some ads on Facebook that have this photo of Shelley Pingree, and on it it says, Hillary Clinton superdelegate. And next to it is his picture, which says, not a Hillary Clinton superdelegate. So we were kind of baffled as to what group he's trying to aim at here. Is he trying to get at the Bernie-type supporters that are real progressives because of her support of Hillary Clinton, or just where he's going? It's obvious that in a campaign that has no television ads and no radio ads, this is really where he's at, is these various ads where trying to divine what they're trying to do.
This is all, so far on his part, a digital campaign. And he has this one ad, which is called Fix Not Fight, which is sort of the mantra of his candidacy, which is that, you know, oh, the Democrats, they stink and all they want to do is fight. And Republicans, they stink and all they want to do is fight. And, you know, and really what people want is this little space in the middle to get something done.
They are looking to fix, not fight.
What he seems to be trying to do is to exploit what had been a rift in the Democratic Party between sort of what is often called the establishment Democrat, which is voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and the Bernie Sanders wing of the party, which is far more progressive, and some identify as socialist Democrats.
Well, Grohman was a Democrat himself until just a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, just last year he switched.
And he would have to caucus with one party or the other if he got elected.
That's not what he says. He will go with which party on which bill he really likes and wants to support, which shows a naivete about how Congress works, particularly the House of Representatives. It's far easier for Angus King to pull that off in the United States Senate than it is for someone in the House of Representatives.
We have not talked about what might be Shelley Pingree's weaknesses going into this race this year. What do you think those are?
I mean, the common complaint you hear about Pingree is that she's too liberal. I mean, she's a reliable voice that lines up behind the minority leader in the House at the moment, Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she's reliably in that camp. And so there may be some disenchanted Democrats that don't really like that. Maybe they want her to be more business-minded or something. It is interesting because on paper, this Grohman strategy seems plausible because you have a far right person in Mark Holbrook who identifies with President Trump, which is an odd association in the first congressional district, which is so liberal. And then you have Shelley Pingree, who is so left that, you know, maybe this would work. You know, this is a high wire act, and I'm not quite sure how he pulls it off.
And when I've talked to a bunch of political scientists, they're looking at it, they're just saying the first district is liberal. So you're not going to get elected here pushing yourself as Trump or something close to Trump but more moderate. So they think Grohman's got a real tough one here in trying to garner support enough, even under the ranked choice voting scenario.
And to Mal's point, just to build off that a little bit, the whole key to this thing working is that somehow Shelley Pingree doesn't get 50% of the vote on the first count. I'm just going to read off her election results since she's been in Congress in 2008. 2008, 55%. 2010, 57%. That was a wave Republican year, by the way. 2012, 65%. 2014, 60%. And 2 years ago, 58%. And that was not a good year for Democrats. So, I mean, he has a lot of work to do, and he's not on television. He's not on the radio. This is a long shot, and I think some people would identify that characterization as charitable.
You mentioned Grohman not up on the air, but what about Holbrook? He was on the air 2 years ago. He's not this year?
Not this year. 2 years ago, he had, I think his only television ad was him in football pads and holding a helmet and wearing a football jersey.
I'm running for Congress, but I'm new to this game. It's tough, and the other side will do anything to win.
That ad, as you can imagine, made quite an impression on some people, including me, because I thought it was funny, but that's what he had then. He hasn't had anything like that since then.
You mentioned that there's not the level of spending and there's no ads up on TV, but Democrats, outside groups, as you've reported, Steve, are spending a lot of money in Maine right now in other races. What about this one? Will we see them before the end?
No.
No.
They're not going to put their money there. The Republican Congressional Campaign Committee is defending seats all across the country. They're putting the money in those seats. Same with the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. They are dumping huge amounts of cash up in the 2nd District because they think there's a chance to win that seat. They're not going to bother. They're basically telling Shelley Pingree, you've got $1 million or so in your campaign war chest, spend it. Because we're not going to put extra money in there unless there's a reason to. And right now, there is not.
That money won't come if there's no ads from the candidates themselves. I mean, and there isn't any. And, you know, I mean, I think what was the closest closest contest with Shelley Pingree was with Dean Scontrist, the Republican, in 2010. And there were these polls out that showed that he was within striking distance and this and that. She went with 57%. And I think that may be the last time I've seen outside spending in that particular contest.
Well, this has been a very emotional week for survivors of sexual assault as the sexual misconduct allegations against Judge Kavanaugh came into focus. There's been a lot of comparing and contrasting to back in 1992 when Anita Hill came before America with harassment allegations against Judge Clarence Thomas. How do you think this fervor is going to tap into the election?
All races are individual. I think it's going to be different in different races. I don't think we have a crystallization in this state of one of those progressive women winning a primary that wasn't expected. That's just not what we have here. And let's back up a bit and look at the history of our state. Our state is much more supportive of women in high public office than most states. Not that many years ago, both United States senators were women. One member of Congress was a woman, and Mike Mishu up in the 2nd District was the only male on the delegation. People in Maine do not seem to be sexist in terms of their votes. They vote for the strongest person, the person they want to serve them.
But what about women just going to the polls in greater numbers for the midterms?
That's the key question. I mean, that everybody is talking about this being a year of the woman, and 1992 was that as a result of the Anita Hill hearings. And as we're watching this, the hearings with Christine Blasey Ford, there was a lot of outpouring. I mean, I was watching C-SPAN where women were calling in with their stories of a sexual assault. So what I've heard, and I can't attribute this accurately, but after the Anita Hill hearings, women were burning. Well, this year, they already are as a result of Me Too, you know, just disenchantment with President Trump. So whatever happens as a result of this hearing in terms of mobilizing voters, I think is just going to further that sentiment. In fact, there was a meme being passed around, I think, on Facebook or Twitter, where they were talking about the date for the next Women's March, and they called it November 6th.
Steve Missler, Mal Leary, thanks so much for your insights.
Thank you.
That was Steve Missler, Mal Leary, and Susan Sharon taking Maine's Political Pulse in the 1st District. If you miss an episode of Maine's Political Pulse, or maybe you just want to listen back again, you'll find it online at mainepublic.org/politicalpulse. That's mainepublic.org/politicalpulse, or wherever you get your podcasts.